Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Chinese astronauts, and I think this is just incredible, board a space station in historic mission. So the three Chinese astronauts arrived on Wednesday at China's space station for the first in-orbit crew rotation in Chinese space history, launching operation of the second inhabited outpost in low Earth orbit after the NASA-led International Space Station. So are we actually seeing a new space race? Because it definitely seems to be that space is the in thing again. Eugene Avenante, who is the chief engineer at SANSA Space Operations. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. No, I'm good. Thank you very much.
So there's definitely a lot of activity happening in this area all of a sudden.
Yes, indeed. So as you mentioned, it looks like a little mini space race again.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from NASA and the international community returning to the moon with Artemis, we also have the Chinese now that are building their own space station, obviously. And then they also have ambitions to return to the moon. Of course, it needn't have been a race, but unfortunately, there's no cooperation between the Western world and China on the International Space Station. So I believe that China will go on their own, as they need to sort of also show themselves as a strong nation and a capable nation in terms of space flight.
Mm. Mm. To what end? What is this about? Is this ego? Is this about nationalism? Or is there something else to it?
I think there must be an element of ego in there. I mean, it is all about China is a world power, and this is space is a good way to show your capabilities as a world power. There's also some secondary, more pragmatic reasons for returning to the moon, and that is that the moon can be a resource for minerals and stuff like that. But I think the primary ambition for human space flight is essentially a show of capability. Of course, the space stations are ideal situation to do some microgravity experimentation. So it's not a folly, but ultimately, going your own for something like this is a show of power.
So there's at this stage not a lot of practical use that comes out of this.
No, there is. I mean, the point is, if we in the near Earth orbit in the space stations, as I said, you can use the microgravity environment to do some really good science. But then you can also use this environment to test some of your technology that you need once you want to venture further, like the moon and beyond, especially around human spaceflight. It's much more easier to solve problems in the near Earth orbit than once you go to the moon and you encounter some issues. So there is some good in that, yeah. So that's I think the
and the value of and the value, the practical value of going back to the moon.
Yeah, as I said, so there is a possibility of exploiting the resources on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It is also a testing ground for developing your mission capability for traveling even further, going to places like Mars ultimately, and becoming a multi-planet species. So there's not just the public entities like NASA working on that. There's also private entities like SpaceX working on trying to get to Mars with human spaceflight.
Right. And how successful has China been in the last couple of decades around space exploration?
Pretty good. I mean, they really only started the construction of the space station a few years back, and they've really caught up with the rest of the world pretty quickly. As it is, they have a rover on the far side of the moon. It's the first time human beings have had something traversing the far side of the moon.
Mm.
So they're doing very well if you consider that they're a nation doing it on their own and not in a collaborative way as the other guy.
Right. And in terms of the cooperation, you say there's very little cooperation between these global powers, which is a bit sad, really, because surely if they pooled their resources, it could be an incredible achievement. We could achieve amazing things.
I think so, too, yes. It is a bit sad because we're seeing, even now in this current situation, we still have the Russians and the Americans working together on the International Space Station, yet the Chinese are excluded. But this comes from the top in the U.S., where there's no scientific cooperation between the U.S. and China. Well, no, I'm saying no. I'm not completely sure of my fact there. But there is a level of embargo against Chinese technology, which then prevents it. I think from a Chinese point of view, they would actually not have any issues with working with the rest of the world. But until we can resolve this issue around technological cooperation between the West and China, I think we're not going to see multinational, including China.
How important is the military aspect of the whole thing?
Yes, of course. Personally, I'm not particularly in favor of militarization of space. Space is a shared resource. If you start militarizing space, you will actually destroy the resource for everybody, not just your enemy. So, but of course, I probably sound a little bit naive. Everybody militarizes everything. It is not just the Chinese. It's everybody that militarizes it. And it is a strategic vantage point. But as long as there's no active engagement in space, we can only hope, because as I said, once there's any form of active engagement in space, you actually ruin the resource for everybody.
Absolutely right. Eugene Avenantu is the chief engineer at SANSA Space Operations, talking to us about China's historical space mission and what is happening in the industry as far as the globe is concerned. It is 8:43. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.